Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
God bless you. Thank you so much, choir. That was awesome. By the way, you look awesome. Thank you so much. Again, it's my honor to be here this morning to share with us. I want to truly celebrate the angel over this house, God's servant, Pastor Bolade. Can you please go ahead and celebrate our Father in the house? I also want to use this privilege to appreciate the leadership of the city of David here in Abuja. Thank you so much for the great work you're doing. The Lord bless and replenish all your labors in the kingdom in Jesus' precious name. This morning our time is very short, and so we'll go straight into the business of the word. It's a supernatural Sunday. Is someone expecting something supernatural? When you're expecting something supernatural, you'll be more excited. Give the Lord a shout of praise. All through scriptures, the supernatural is provoked by a sound of joy. The Bible said Joshua was a mighty warrior. He defeated 31 kings. 31. Not one, not two, not ten. 31. 31 kings, 31 nations. When he came to Jericho, the walls of Jericho was an impregnable fortress. It had never been breached. And when Joshua came, he saw a wall that could not be breached. No military intelligence could bring down the wall of Jericho, nor go beyond the walls. And while he was there contemplating what to do, he saw a captain on the divine side. You know, he was a captain in the natural side of God's army, but there was a supernatural side of God's army. And for the walls of Jericho to go down, there had to be a marriage between the natural and the supernatural. And he saw the captain of the Lord's host and he told him the mystery that will bring that wall down. He said, tell the children of Israel to encompass the wall once in 6 days and blow the shofar once. And on the seventh day, they should go around it 7 times and blow the horn 7 times. And the walls of Jericho will go down. And when they did that with the shout of joy, the impregnable fortress sank and a great victory was wrought. The secret for bringing down the walls that stop you from entering your destiny is tied to a shout of praise. And if you will shout this morning, if you will shout this morning, if you will shout this morning, mysteries concocted in darkness can just go down. Give the Lord a shout. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. The foundation of the earth is not a rock. The foundation of the earth are mysteries locked in light. And if a man can access it, his life can become a wonder. Many times, people assume that hard work alone is enough. But when you begin to deal with spirit entities, you will discover that there are many hardworking people that are gross failures. Because there is more to life than what the eye sees. This is why it's important for us to study and to learn from the Spirit of God the secrets, the codes, and the mysteries upon which the universe was designed. And in this Supernatural Sunday today, my goal is not just to manifest the supernatural, it's to help every one of us here to begin to walk in the supernatural naturally. And I believe that will be the experience of someone in the name of Jesus Christ. When you look at the realms of God, and when you study the scriptures, the Bible said, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, it said God. It didn't say God created. It said, in the beginning, God. God was before creation began. What it goes to mean is that creation is not what defines who God is. Creation is one of the many things God does. Because before God became a creator, he was God. He's not God because he's a creator. Because before he began to create, there was an aeon between that time that cannot be captured. He was God for aeons before he began to create. Creation is one of the things that God does. Because only God creates. Praise God. But in case he didn't create, he is still God. So when he said, in the beginning, God, he's telling us that this being predates creation. Creation came out of his bowels. So in the beginning, he was already in existence because he is existence. Creation is one of the many things he does. And there are many things God was doing before he started creating. But that is a syllabus for God. The only one who we know it is the one that enters the bowels of God. And unfortunately, none of us here can journey that far. But what he allowed us to see is the protocol of creation. But it's important for us to bear it at the back of our minds that before he began to create, there were many other things he was doing as God. That is not what creation can know. But in order to understand him from the context of creation, the Bible said he created the heavens and the earth. Now, the first thing I want us to identify from there is his reality existed before creation was crystallized. And if you study John chapter 4 from verse 24, he said, God is spirit. And he said, they that worship him was worshiping in spirit and in truth. So, in the beginning, the spirit is what was in existence. The natural was not in existence. So when he said, in the beginning, God, invariably he was telling us, in the beginning, only spirit existed. There was no natural reality in the beginning. The natural things we see they appeared from the supernatural things. That's why he said the things that are, he said they were made from the things that do not appear. Because in the beginning, the things that appear were not. So spirit was the foundation of reality. The natural realm is an offspring of the spirit or the supernatural realm. After God dwelt as spirit for a long time, he now decided to begin to create the visible realm. So he created the heavens and the earth. Are we together? Now, if you study this sequence carefully, you'll discover that there are three different structural realms that exist. The first realm that exists is the spirit realm, where God dwells. That is where he was before he created the earth. And then you have two other realms that exist. The spirit realm is what we call the supernatural realm. I'm taking time to explain this because to live the supernatural life, you must draw resources from the spirit realm. You are living in the physical realm, but you cannot dominate the physical realm with the resources from the physical realm. You can dominate the physical realm only by drawing resources from the spirit realm, from whence the physical appeared. The physical realm is an offspring of the spirit realm. And so to dominate the physical realm, you must generate resources from the parent realm, which is the spirit realm. And so when you have the supernatural realm, which is the spirit realm, there's another realm that is lower than the spirit realm. It's called the preternatural realm. That's the soulish realm. It is also invincible, but it is not spirit. That's where the minds, the cognitive aspect of reality is kept. So you can think now, but you don't know where your thoughts are stored. You can imagine things, you don't know where they are stored. Your brain is only a command tower that receives those signals that are in the soulish realm. That is why your emotions, your actions, your intellect are all realities in another realm. But they are trapped into your brain and communicated through your body. So there is a second realm called the preternatural realm. Demons also operate there. You must have heard many times people carry out actions and they say they don't know what prompted them to do it. Because that realm is a realm where both demons and angels can carry out activities. And so if a man is inspired by a demon, he will do something that is beyond his natural propensities. And when you ask him after the action is done, he will tell you he doesn't know why. Something came over him. Because there is another realm where the soul of man, the demonic entities and angelic entities can interact. If that realm does not exist, it would have been impossible for you to be aided from the supernatural realm. It's called the preternatural realm or the soulish realm. And then the third realm is the physical realm where your body interacts. That's what we call the natural realm. The natural realm is the least realm that men participate in. Men participate in the natural, in the preternatural, and in the supernatural. This is why when you look at the creation of man, he also has three faculties. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. Your body dwells in this realm so that you can have the legal right to function in this realm. If your body is destroyed, you leave this realm immediately. There is no way you can remain here. What gives you legality to function here is your body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23, the Bible said that the God of all peace will sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. That means you are not a body. That means you are not a soul. That means you are not a spirit. You are holistically a body, a soul, and a spirit. Because you function in three realms. The same way your body gives you legality to function in the natural realm, that is how your soul gives you legality to function in the soulish realm or the preternatural realm, and your spirit gives you legality to function in the supernatural realm. What God expects of you is that you are able to harness the powers of the soulish and the powers of the spirit and bring all of them into your context and manifest it. But unfortunately, human civilization has been able only to explore the physical and the preternatural. That's why people go to school, they study physics, they study chemistry, they study biology, what they are doing is that they are enriching the soul Israel. But they don't know that the same way they took time to study and build the soulish aspect of their being, they should also build the spirit aspect of their being. So we are soulishly intelligent, we are physically intelligent, but we are spiritually unintelligent. And because the spirit realm is superior to the soulish and the bodily realm, if a spirit draws energy from the spirit realm, he will undermine everything you stand to represent. That's why a neurosurgeon can suddenly have a mental disorder. He has studied all the laws about the soul, but there is a force from another realm that is superior to what he has studied. That's why a medical doctor can come down with cancer. He knows all the bodily laws that govern the operation of the physical aspect, but there is a superior law that has been introduced. If he knew how the realms of the spirit operate, he would not just be intelligent soulishly, he would also be intelligent spiritually. I have seen people go through crisis in life they cannot explain. And the problem is not because what they are going through is a mystery. The problem is that they have only studied in the soulish and in the bodily realm. They have not studied from the spirit realm. They know the laws that govern the soul. They know the laws that govern the body, but they don't know the laws that govern the spirit. And so the supernatural realm becomes a mystery to them. When you look at a man, as simple as he appears, there are three lives that a man carries. Every one of us sitting here, if you are born again, the first life you have powers your body. It's called bios. If you cut off a man's hand, that hand will still be moving for some time before he dies. There's a life. In Leviticus 17:11, he said the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's why when anything is wrong with you, they take a sample of your blood and they have everything about you. Because that life is in the blood. There is another life called the soulish life. It's called suche. That's what they call psychological life. It powers your mind. That's what the Bible calls a sound mind. So there are people that have a strong soulish life. When they read something, they pick it easily. You call them intelligent. There are other people that they don't have a strong soulish life. It will take time for them to master what those who have a strong soulish life can easily master. It's called suche. But there is another life called the zoe that is in our spirits. If you don't know how to tap the resources of zoe, no matter how intelligent you are, you'll be a victim. Because when a demon shows up, he will not fight with you at the level of suche. He will bring life from a realm superior to the soul, and you'll become a victim. Walking in the supernatural life is the ability to live from the three realms of reference. When a man is walking only in the natural, he's limited. When a man is walking in the soulish, he's limited. But when a man begins to function from the spirit, then that man has become supernatural. And this is not a mystery. It's available to everybody. This morning, I want to show us the two foundations of supernatural living. And the two foundations of supernatural living has their root in the spirit, not in the soul, not in the body. They have their root in the spirit. When I started this morning, I said, shout. A man who functions at the soulish realm will think it's about excitement. Because that's the only interpretation he can get. Because in the soulish, when you are happy, you can shout. But in the spirit, shouting is a weapon. There are two different things. When we shout in the spirit, it's a weapon. So if you don't know the laws that govern them, two people will be shouting, their results will be different. One person will shout and be excited. Another person will shout and receive a contract. Because the spirit that are fighting that contract, it just brought them down. Did you not read? The Bible said, why do the kings rage and the hidden imagine a venting? It said the rulers of the earth took counsel against God and against his anointed. And he said, he that sits in the heaven shall laugh. Why will you laugh when you are being fought? Because laughter is a weapon. If you are in the soulish realm, it's a sign of excitement. But in the spirit realm, when you laugh, you are fighting. And so laughter becomes a weapon. The question is, where are you living from? If you are living from the soulish, you'll be excited. But if you are living from the spirit, you are fighting a serious warfare and you will come out victorious. The outcomes of your life are a product of where you are living from. Some people are living from what they studied in Harvard. Some other people are living from what they studied in Zion. Two different realms. What are the two foundations of the supernatural? Number one is the kind of life you are working with. The first foundation of the supernatural is the life force that powers you. If you are powered by the animal life, no matter how you try, you can never leave the supernatural. Because you are regulated by feelings, appetites, and your blood. No matter how you try, you judge things based on your feelings. You are ruled by your feelings. When you are living at the soulish life, you will function by your intellect. So you judge things based on facts. But we have come to understand that facts can be manipulated. And so we go beyond fact. So the first foundation of the supernatural life is the life force that powers you. And everybody who wants to live the supernatural must live by the life of God. Thank God for the natural life. We will take care of it by eating and living healthily. Thank God for the soulish life. We will improve it by studying and growing. But much more than that, there is something we are looking for that is not in a book. It's in the spirit. So every man who wants to begin to live from the realm of the supernatural must receive the life of God and live by the life of God. The simple way to receive the life of God is in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 and 10. It says, if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and confess with your mouth, it says you shall be saved. In biological context, it will take intercourse and 9 months of gestation for a life to be formed. But in spirit context, it takes a moment of believing and confessing Jesus. The laws are different and the results are also different. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, He died for your sins, was buried and rose again on the third day, it means you are believing in His immortality. And the moment you call Him Lord, that immortality that He possesses is credited into your spirit. This is why 1 John chapter 5 from verse 11, he said something very significant. He said, this is the record. There are records in the natural, but there are also records in the spirit. He said, this is the record that God had given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And he went further. He said, he that had the Son had life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things I have written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. What is the key there? That you may know. You may have confessed Jesus, but it is possible you are not aware that you have another kind of life. And because you are not aware, you will not take advantage of it. So when things go wrong, instead of functioning from the realm that you have been born into, you leave that realm and you go back to the lower realm and you are struggling. The problem is not that the life is not there. The problem is that you do not know. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it said, whoever is born of God is a new creature. It said, all things are passed away. He now used the word. He said, behold. Behold. The word is idol. Become aware that all things have become new. So the key for operating the life of God is to become aware. To what degree are you aware? This is why we study the Word of God. This is why we pray. Because we are trying to grow in the awareness of the new life that we have. How does this life work? So next time, when there is a crisis and you cannot move forward, instead of running like everybody first looking for human connection, you first go into your room. You say, the way this life works is, if there is a mountain, you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast away. You are operating from a superior realm. As you are casting that mountain away, if there is a need for a man to walk it, God will now bring that man into your spirit. And as you call him, the answer will come. This time around, you are not routing your progress through the natural. you are routing your progress through the supernatural. They tell you somebody is sick, and then you ask yourself, this life I have, how does it work? And he says, lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Before you recommend paracetamol, you will lay your hands first. As you lay hands on the sick, the person can go ahead and take paracetamol, but you know that you are exercising the life that you have. As you do it over and over, you energize that life, and a point comes, you discover that everything you do according to that life produces a result that is alien to this dimension. When that begins to happen, it means you have left the natural and you have entered the supernatural. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12, he said, whoever uses milk is a babe and is unskillful in the word of righteousness. What does that tell you? That means this life, there is skill. There are skills that we learn. He said he's unskillful in the word of righteousness. He said, but strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. You may have the life of God, but the life of God will be dormant, because you don't train that life. You don't build that life. Next time, before you go out of your house, as you wake up, you said, my day is blessed. Only favor comes my way. No evil shall befall me. As you are saying these things, you are energizing the life on your inside. 200 people may be competing for something. You say, I come by favor. All of us have certificates. All of us are competent. But I am the head and not the tail. You are deploying resources from another realm. A point will come, even your thought will begin to generate power. That's why I said in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, he said, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. But he said something. He said, it's according to the power. That power is this life that is at work on your inside. Most of us, the life of God has been dormant. We keep trying with our physical abilities only. We keep trying with our mental ability. When they say, get something done, you enter your brain. And then you create your world in your brain. And the demons are just looking at you. So you think, this fist-like size object in your head can rule your destiny. You have not understood the permutations correctly. This is not to say you should let go of your brain, but before you touch your brain, touch the spirit. It's called the supernatural life. I can tell you that more than 90% of the Christians today are not exploring the supernatural life. That life is dormant, but they have mastered and energized their soulish life. And so anything that the soul cannot answer defeats them. When they are sick and the doctor said, we've tried everything, they are hopeless, because their life ends at the soulish realm. But I refuse to be at the mercy of another person. I refuse to be at the mercy of medical science. I refuse to be at the mercy of what men think. So I go to an ascended level. And the way you do it, number one, is to put that life to work. The second way you activate this life is by exploring it in prayers. Listen, we are hybrid creatures. Paul called us the mystery of the age. In Colossians 1:26, he said, this is the mystery of the age. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What that means is this. Before man was created, if you are a spirit, you are a spirit. If you are an animal, you are an animal. But when God created man, he altered the protocol. He created us with the animal frame, but he put himself on our inside. The Bible said God breathed the breath of life into the man. Genesis 2:7. And he said the man became a living soul. You have no idea who you are. You are not a mere mortal. The world thinks we are men. And so when things happen, they say we are all men. We are not all men. There are those walking on earth who are men of men. But we are men of God. A man of God is not a preacher. A man of God is not a pastor. A man of God is a being that his essence is God. And so when you open me up, you will find God there. And so when I follow men to apply principle, and principle is working, I enjoy it with them. But when the principle stops working, I leave the frequency of principle and I enter the God's principle. And the way to migrate from the realm of men to the realm of spirit is by praying in the Holy Ghost. This is why he said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. In the natural, he makes no sense. How be it in the spirit, he uttereth mysteries. So men can be buying and selling. I will buy and sell. Men can be applying for jobs. I will apply for job. But when I come to that wit end, where what I'm doing is not working, like it's not working for every man, I say, give me a second, and I enter my bedroom. When I enter my bedroom, I've left the realm of men, because I'm a hybrid creature. There's a human side and there's a divine side. When the human side is not working, I switch to the divine side. Kakatakaka, regedegepanas, brakatuate, azuzo, kakagara katua. It may not make sense. It's saying the natural, it does not make sense. But in the spirit, my God, in the spirit, parakado, azizo, kakafarake, tatelia, tuana. When you finish praying, you step out. They say, what happened? You say, no, I went to heaven. I deployed something that is not natural. And meanwhile, you are a CEO. But that's the description men call you. In the natural, you are a CEO, but you are much more than a CEO. In the spirit, you are a warrior. You are a warrior. And so when the principles don't work, you are not hopeless. You need to learn how to build the supernatural life. The way to build the supernatural life is to maximize it. And the way you maximize it is by putting it to work. And is by stirring it. If you don't stir that life like oil, it will congeal. You will be the answer to your generation, but you will be lukewarm. You will be the answer to your generation, but you will be dead. Why do you think the devil stops you from praying? It's not that if you stop praying, it reduces anything from God. But if you stop praying, he reduces everything from you. Did you not read about Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? He was tired of functioning like a man. He wanted to enter his divine side. And the Bible said in Matthew 17 verse 2, as he prayed, he said the fashion of his countenance was altered. He said his raiment began to glister, and there appeared before him Moses and Elias. I don't have time to talk about that. Listen, you are in government. Sometimes you do all the calls, you do all the connections, it doesn't work. What you need is a politician that have lived before your time. And when you go to the place of prayer, you'll be shocked that while you are praying, Daniel will show up and tell you that I was once in Babylon. Men ganged up against me. This is what I did. You will talk to somebody. How do you think Jesus did it? He said Moses and Elias were talking to him about what he must do in Jerusalem. We are not alone. He said, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the spirit of just men made perfect. You may be a businessman. Things are failing. You have done everything they ought to do, and it's not working. Why not go to the spirit? You may just meet Joseph. And Joseph will come to you and tell you, when I was in Egypt, he said money failed, but there was a strategy I found. And you will learn something that is not taught in Harvard Business School. You will learn something that is not taught in Lagos Business School. It's called supernatural living. They told you will not get married. You are 38 years old. Why not go to the place of prayer? Esther may just show up and tell you how you wear favor. And when you show up, it's not only men that will seek you. Even kings will begin to look for you. There is a portal in the spirit that we access through prayer. We are not disadvantaged. Every one of us is a nation. The least among us is a strong nation. We are too protected to be vulnerable. The advantage we have is in the order of the divine. In Romans chapter 8 verse 17, the Bible said we are joint heirs with Christ. That means what we have is limitless. You are not bankrupt. You have more than enough. You have just not tapped into it. When you begin to stir this life, what will come out of you, even you will be shocked. Isaiah said, I and the children the Lord has given to me, we are for signs and we are for wonders. How do you stir the life? Put pressure on it. Put pressure. When you want to build your muscles, you don't build it by sleeping. You go to the gym. When you put pressure, you will be shocked what your muscle can become. When you want to build the powers of this life, put pressure on it. And you will be shocked what will happen. The way you put pressure is to draw out of it every time you want to do something. I am not ordinary. I carry something that is divine. The way you put pressure on it is by stirring yourself in prayer. Sometimes we pray for hours. as you are praying, the flesh is fighting. You stay there. Your flesh wants the prayer to stop. No way. It's not stopping. I must break the bandwidth of flesh and enter another frequency. And when you are done, even the unbelievers, when you come out, they will know that something is different. They will know. They will know. The foundation of the supernatural is the life of God. The life that makes God God is what is in you now. How come you are not living like a God? It's because you have not put pressure here. When you stare this life, you'll be amazed that you who was a beggar can suddenly sit among princes and inherit thrones. And when they look at you, they say, "What happened?" You say, "My God is Ebenezer. I've been helped." Elohim Adonai. You have something, sir. You are not ordinary. Make no mistakes about it. It's not all the time you need a prophet to come and talk to you. It's not all the time you need an apostle to come and lay hands on you. Sometimes you need to enter your bedroom and settle the matter from the courts of heaven. When you pray, you'll be amazed the wisdom that will come out of your spirit. It will be 1,000 times more than what you studied in Harvard. When you pray, you will be amazed the light and the illumination, the strategy that is locked up. Did you not know that it's on the strength of this light that the foundation of the earth was created? The same life that created the world is inside you. If the foundation of the earth can be created, the earth is hanging. It's hanging. When you look at the planetary bodies, you will see wisdom that surpasses everything that is known. Humankind is studying how planetary motion functions for thousands of years. That same wisdom is embedded on your inside. And you are doing a business in Abuja, and you say that business will fail. It's impossible. We don't fail. We only succeed. Because the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Please sit down. I have 3 more minutes. The second way to walk in the supernatural is to walk by faith. These are foundations. Faith is the ability to see the unseen. He said, "He called those things that be not as though they were." He called those things, Romans 10:17, that be not as though they were. It's a frequency that we tap into when we begin to do business in the corridors of life. That today your back may be down, but while you're on the floor, you are telling them, "I'm the champion." And they look at you, they say you are a clown, and you don't answer them. You know what you are seeing. He said, "Though weeping may endure for the night," he said, "joy comes in the morning." He said, "Our light affliction are but for a moment. They work for us an exceeding weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen?" This is how faith works. Many times we are only looking at the things that are seen because your brain will force you to look at the facts. But when you want to walk with faith, you stop looking at the facts. You start looking at what God said. He said, "Whose report shall you believe? Currently the facts are against me, but I refuse to live by the facts. I'm living by what God said. I may have a growth, I don't know where it came from, but he said, by his stripes I'm healed. My finances may not be doing well." He said, "Rich as he was, he became poor, that I through his poverty might be made rich." So instead of focusing on what is not working, I begin to focus on what God said. He said, "Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are unseen." He said, "The things that are seen, they are temporal." He said, "But the things that are unseen, they are eternal." It's time for you to stop living your life based on the facts. The facts can be manipulated. And when the facts change, you'll be doomed. But when you look at the realm beyond fact, he said, "Even if the foundation of the earth crumble, you will stand." Why do you think we go out to pray for the sick? Somebody shows up and say, "I have cancer." You say, "You are healed." You don't say you will be healed. You say you are healed. "I have cancer. This is a symptom." I say you are healed. And as the person aligns with those words, suddenly the cancer vanishes. Because if you want to see what God says, you have to stand on what God says. And if you can stand on what God says, not too long, the physical facts will have to give way. Because only the word of God is eternal. You want to see the supernatural? You must find what God says and say what God says. There are too many believers today. They know what every other person says apart from God. They can tell you what their ancestors believed. They can tell you what their great-grandfathers believed. They can tell you what the people in Abuja believe. They can tell you what the world believe. But they don't know what God said. And so their life will always go in the direction of their belief system. And so if you want your life to turn around in the order of the supernatural, you have to start saying and believing only what God said. The things I teach you this morning, I have experienced that. This is not theory. And God has defended these things even in distant nations. 2 weeks ago, I was in Pakistan. A terrorist nation. I stood openly and preached the gospel with boldness. Because God told me, because I live, you will see tomorrow. And so I knew that my grave is not in Pakistan. I went, I came back, and we saw terrible miracles. Just by believing what God said. If you will put to work what God has said, you will be amazed how your life will turn around. He said he lifted the beggar from the dunghill and causes him to stand with princes and to inherit thrones. But the key is to believe it and to say it. When a man wants to walk in the supernatural, there are 4 things that he must do. Number 1, step out with boldness. Life and faith is the foundation, but here is the administration. You have to step out with boldness. The apostles knew it. And so in Acts chapter 4, verse 29 to 31, this was their prayer. Lord, grant that by the spirit of boldness, you may fill us with the spirit of boldness. They said, behold, they are threatening. He said, grant us the spirit of boldness, that with boldness we will preach your son Jesus Christ. And he says, stretch forth thy hands, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child. So you cannot see the hand of God that works miracles except as you step out in boldness. If you remain cowardly, you can't make progress. In 2 Timothy 1:7, he said he has not given us the spirit of fear. He said, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. There is a boldness that is required for you to see the supernatural. If you don't step out in boldness, you can never see the supernatural. You may not have all the facts, move out all the same, and see God work out his protocol. The second thing you will do in order to see the supernatural is to begin to carry out the acts of faith. Do what God said, don't only say it. He said, if you see the sick, lay hands. Venture out, carry out those acts of faith. As you start doing the acts of faith, then God begins to confirm. In Mark 16:20, he said, they went out, and the Lord walking with them, confirming the words with signs and wonders following. If you don't step out, if you don't carry out the acts of faith, there will be nothing for God to confirm. Most of you know what God wants you to be, but you have not taken any action. That's why both you and your dream are in your heart. It is the day you start putting it to work that God begins to confirm his word. God only confirms a word that has been put to action. If it has not been put to action, he will never confirm it, because there will be nothing to confirm. Number 3, while you are doing it, keep praising God. Your praising God is a sign that you are not where the circumstance is happening. You have gone into the future. The Bible said Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith. And the way he showed it, he said he was giving thanks to God. Many people pray and they are waiting. Will it happen? Will it not happen? You have prayed. Your job is done. The next thing is to go and give praise. As you are giving praise, you begin to mobilize the angels. Did you not read in Acts 16:25? The Bible said they flogged Paul and Silas and threw them in prison. It said, but when it was midnight, they prayed and they sang. The moment they began praising God, the foundation of the city broke. In Acts 2:47, the Bible said they were together praising God. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You can't see the power of God except as you start praising him. So you receive boldness, you carry out the acts of faith, and then you start praising God. Don't wait for the answer. Testify before the answer. That's how it works. These are laws of another realm. In the natural, there are other laws. they are governed by facts, but in the supernatural, they are governed by faith. In the natural, seeing is believing. In the supernatural, believing is seeing. If you don't see in the natural, you don't believe. In the supernatural, if you don't believe, you don't see. They are two different laws. And so when you start praising God, even when the answer has not come, then you put pressure on the integrity of God. And because he said it, he said, I will watch my word to perform it. This is how men walk in the supernatural. Finally, to sustain the supernatural, you must walk in love. In Acts chapter 4 verse 34, he said, they that had sold their possession and they brought it to the apostles' feet. And he said, even distribution was made and there was none amongst them that lack. When God begins to help you, don't assume that others are daft. Because God has helped you and lifted you up, you look at other people, you say, they are not smart. It's because of their laziness that they are not prospering. If God withdraws his hand, will your smartness prosper you? So don't become a tormentor to others because God has shown you mercy. If God lifts you up, love becomes a responsibility. And you must bear that body. This is why the Bible said, bear one another's body and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Most times, when God helps us, we become tyrants. We forget where he took us from. And every other person who is not succeeding, we look for names for them. We state why they are failing. And we put ourselves in our own class. We are diligent. We are smart. We did everything right. That's how we prosper. If you continue like that, not too long, you will sink. For you to sustain the supernatural life, you must master how to walk in love. This morning, somebody is invited into the supernatural life. Remember, the foundation is the life of God and the life of faith. So if you are here this morning, you have not called Jesus the Lord of your life. You don't have this life. And if you don't have this life, everything I've said will be story to you. It will not make impact. And I don't want to assume that everybody is born again. And so before I pray for you in the next 2 minutes, I'm out of here. Before I pray for you, I just want to ask, perhaps you are here. You were born into a church. You've gone to church all your life, but there has never been a time where you stood up and said, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead on the third day. Today, become the Lord of my life. Maybe you've not made this formal confession. Life is not yet credited into your spirit. You may be in church and not be born again. It is on the last day you will realize it. And so you are here this morning and you want to make that confession and commit your life to God. Can you wave at me? Just in case you are here. Is there anybody? Can you take it higher so that we are sure? Yes, my sister. Thank you very much. Is there any other person waving? Take it higher. Take it higher. Quickly, so we round up. You want to make that confession? Praise God. Everyone that waved, please listen. I want you to come to the altar very quickly. Jesus said, if you are not ashamed of me before men, I will not be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. This is a hard decision. It's the time to separate yourself from the crowd. My sister, don't be intimidated. If you are not ashamed of me before men, I will not be ashamed of you before God. Come up. Come up quickly. Encourage them. You are sitting with them. Encourage them. It's a demon. Encourage them. I saw another hand there. Tell her to come up. Don't be deceived out of what God has made available to you. Tell her we are waiting for her. We won't stop. This is a serious business. For one soul, Jesus will die. And so this church will wait. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. him to die for you. And I'm happy that this has happened. You will never forget it. You will never. And what you receive this morning, no devil will ever take it away from you. Because you have a great destiny, and this service was for you this morning. Can you place your hands on your chest? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in my heart that Jesus is your Son. I believe in my heart that He died for my sins. He was buried, and on the third day, He rose again from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Thank you for giving me eternal life today. I am now a part of the family of God. I surrender to you completely today. Have your way in my life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. May the Lord keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, preserve you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Can you please clap hands for this mother? Thank you for encouraging her. Thank you. Give the Lord a shout! Are you excited? Now, in the next 1 minute, your mountains are about to go down. Whatever it is that challenges you, be it your health, be it financial, whatever it is, begin to address that thing now. Command that mountain to go. They say if you will command the mountains to go and you don't doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. Go ahead and command the mountains to go now. In the name of Jesus, command the mountains to go. It may be disfavor, it may be calamity, it may be attacks. In the name of Jesus, command them to go now. Come on, are you praying? Are you making decrees? He said, where the word of the king is, there is power. You are kings and priests before God. Decree concerning those mountains. Be leveled in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over everything that is not consistent with the gospel. Sicknesses, diseases, I take authority over failure. I take authority over fear. I take authority over disfavor. I take authority over demons that steal, that kill, and destroy. In the name of Jesus, be bound. I command mountains, get out of their way. Sicknesses, be gone. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke infirmity. I release healing right now. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Receive healing now. Receive healing now. Receive healing now. I speak into your finances. Receive healing now. I speak into your relationships. Receive healing now. In the name of Jesus. From today, all that pertains to you is supernatural. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. So let it be established in Jesus' precious name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.